Thank you for tuning in to the Greater Rhode Island Baptist Temple podcast. My name is Carlos Navarrete, and I'm the lead pastor. Our goal is to magnify God through His Word, and we pray that you'll be drawn closer to Jesus through this message. If this message is a help to you, we would greatly appreciate it if you could leave a review and subscribe. And most importantly, please share with friends through social media to help us spread God's Word. Now, here's today's message. Hey, how many of you are glad you belong to Jesus? Good. So we're studying what it means to be a Christian these days. I want you to go in your Bible to Galatians 5 today, and I'm excited about the message. I'm excited to be preaching. So we drove Friday and came back Saturday, 10 hours in a van each way, 20 hours in a van with teenagers, folks, and my head never exploded. Are you proud? But I will tell you this, if I wasn't preaching, I'd be sleeping in the pew. So how many of you are glad? That's true, amen. But you know what I'm saying. But I am really, really glad to be back. I appreciate your prayers. And I'm really excited about this series. We're talking about our identity in Christ, what it means to be a Christian. And here's what it means. Watch this. You belong to Jesus. And the Bible says, he who is in Christ is a what? New creation. Something happened when you got saved. You were born in sin. Are y'all with me? How many of you are like, yep, I'm pretty conscious of that, right? And when you got saved, the Bible says, and you were put in Christ. So now you're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that. And the Bible says it very clearly. When you were put in Christ, you became new. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, the old habits went away. It doesn't mean that, you know, your brain was totally blanked out and the old thinking went away. We're going to deal with that down the road. Here's what it means. It means that you went, the Bible says, and you became a new creature. You're a saint. You are saved. Because you're saved, you're a saint, the Bible says, and you are a child of God. And that deals with everything. If you begin to understand that, you'll feel secure. You'll understand what, when God says you're my child, you'll feel, watch this, special. You will all of a sudden, it deals with your insecurities. It deals with, watch this, this ladder climbing and that drivenness, or it deals with that depression, because all of a sudden, I'm special. I have significance. So I gave you a couple of weeks ago, a list of verses, which we put in the back of your handout today, and I want to encourage you to take that out, and what God says you are in Christ. He says you're accepted. He says you're secure. And number three, he says you're significant. And if you're here and you're like, I don't understand what it means to be in Christ, you need to get in those verses. You need to memorize them. If you're here and you're like, you know what? I'm always insecure, or I'm always trying to be condescending. I'm always trying to prove who I am. I'm always, you know, trying to figure it out. The Bible says you don't understand who you are in Christ. When you got in Christ, the Bible says, everything changed. All of a sudden, you became a new creation. Now, here is the problem. We dealt with the problem last week. You ready? Most Christians don't believe that. We believe lies, we believe what we're told, we believe what we learned, what we picked up along the way, and we come and we get saved and we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but listen, we don't really believe what he says. I told you last week real carefully and real bottom rung what faith is. Ready? Faith is believing the truth. Say that with me. Faith is believing the truth. Come on now, keep me awake. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Faith is believing the truth. Maybe you should keep yourself away, all right? Faith is believing what God says. It's not believing and it gets done. That's fantasy world. That is fanaticism. That's what a lot of, you know, people out there are preaching as faith. No, no, no. That's not reality. Faith is what God says is true and you believe it. Amen. You put your confidence in it. The Christian life doesn't work until you understand who you are. And watch this. I said this last week. When you understand you're a saint, what do you behave like? A saint. Watch this. If you still believe, well, I'm just an overeater, what are you going to do? If I'm just angry, what are you going to do? Are you all with me? See, you do what you believe. You behave as you believe. You don't behave as you think. It's not belief in the head. It's belief in the heart. It's trust, we said. It's a confidence. It's the difference between I think that chair will hold me and me going down there and sitting on it and lifting my legs up and going, look it, I am putting my trust. That's what God expects from you. It's when you trust that. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to break that down for you in a couple of weeks, so stay with me, all right? But the Bible says that many of times the problem is we haven't absorbed, watch this, what God has given. So I told you last week, we're living many times in poverty when in reality we've been put into riches. How many of you are glad you're rich in Jesus Christ? And You need to understand that and believe it. It's not a claiming of anything. It's believing the truth of the Word of God. Now, today, we want to get in on those blessings, but we've got to ask ourselves this question. Which gospel am I believing? Which gospel? I want you to read Galatians chapter 1, verse number 6 with me. And before you answer too many questions, I'm going to give you a lot of time to talk today, okay? So everybody be ready. Verse 6. I marvel, Paul said, that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, unto another, what? Gospel. Which is not another. You're like, well, which is it, Paul? Is there another or is it another? I'll explain that in a minute. But there be some that trouble you, or he says they are causing trouble into your life and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, the word gospel simply means good news. Good news. The Bible defines what the gospel is. The gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 is told very clearly to us as the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that that is good news. Good news. Listen to me. The gospel to the sinner is this, that there is a God that sent his son. God became a man. And the Bible says that he lived a sinless life. He died on a rugged cross. He was crucified there. He shed perfect blood, sinless blood, so that you don't have to go to hell, so that you don't have to be condemned forever. God did not come to condemn you. God doesn't condemn anybody. Your sin condemns you. Frankly, you're already condemned. You were born that way, the Bible says. When Adam sinned, death was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And the good news is, Jesus Christ came to save your soul. How many of you are glad Jesus came? Listen, that's the good news. It's not bad news. I'm not telling you what, listen, that's what you are, the Bible says. And yet, when you got saved, you believed in the good news of salvation. You put your faith in that. But now, here's the problem. Many of us think that when Jesus saved us, that ended it all. Listen to me. The power of the gospel began when you got saved. It didn't end. Philippians 1:6 says very clearly, it says, he who had begun a good work in you will perform it. He'll complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. What's he going to do? He is going to finish his work. What is his work? Well, this is the problem. A lot of people believe the gospel to the sinner. They come, they get saved, put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're not believing, a lot of Christians, the gospel to the saint. This is salvation, but this is sanctification. Listen, the Jesus who died to save you from your sin and hell is the same Jesus who died to keep you from sinning as a Christian. And you don't have to do that on your own. See, the gospel is central to the Christian life. So as Paul writes Galatians, he is burdened. He's writing to a group of churches in an area called Galatia. And he writes to them to, listen, deal with an error, a wrong way of thinking about the gospel to the Christian. You say, how do you know it was written to Christians? Very simple. About 9 or 10 times in this book, he says, brethren, how many of you understand? When you get saved, you become a child of God, and that means we brothers. You didn't know it was your brother, did you? The Bible says that we are brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what he said. He said, brethren. In other words, watch this. They had come to Jesus for salvation, but here's the problem. They hadn't come to Jesus for their sanctification. And so Paul deals very strongly with them. In fact, interesting little tidbit. When you read the Pauline epistles, that is the letters of Paul to the churches, there's something interesting you always read. It was always a greeting. Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, they're called to be an apostle. And he'd tell them who he was. And then he would say something like, and I always think of you. I appreciate your faith. Thanks for working hard for the Lord. Thanks for hoping in his, in blessed coming and things like that. But do you know that when you get to the book of Galatians, there is no commendation? Nothing positive. It's just right to the point. Do you know why? Because they perverted. The Bible says they had, watch this, messed the gospel up. They'd mess with the gospel. And Paul was quick to deal with the error of their ways. Paul loved the gospel, and he's writing to correct the erroneous ways. And when we get to verse 6 right away, you read the purpose of this book. He said, I'm writing. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed. He said, here you came, he said, to Jesus for salvation, and you put your faith in him to save you. And he said, and yet, he said, you've gotten away from that. Notice in verse number 6, I want to break this down for you. If you take a pen, and And I want you to take your notes, and I want you to notice three different gospels here. The first one in verse 6 is that word gospel. He says, verse number 6, called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Underline that word, another. That word another is different than the word another in verse number 7. There's two different words in the Greek. I'm not going to bore you there, but this is the word heteros. How many of you understand the word heteros? Like heterosexual. Bible-believing Christians believe marriage is between a man and a woman. And that in the Bible says that he's made them one, he said, but he made them man and woman, male and female. It's amazing thing how much the devil wants to pervert everything today that God has created. He's a pervert. He's not a creator. He has not created nothing, but he wants to destroy everything. And so he's even bringing into question the very creation of God in the very basic way. How many of you understand men and women are different? I'm so glad. Okay, I'm glad some of you get that. I mean, you know, they're just different, right? I mean, you know, men think like, remember those verses, you know, those old books, men are from, was it Mars? Women are from Venus, you know, and it was like men, they think in compartments or like a waffle, you know, and guys have, you know, it's like a cabinet box, right? It's like they have, you know, and they have a compartment for like cars. That's a big compartment. And then they have a compartment for food. That's a really big compartment. It's big. It actually is the whole drawer, right? Okay. And then they have other things. There's a compartment that says nothing. So when you ever look at your husband, you go, what are you thinking about? And he goes, nothing. Ladies, I know you can't do that. Men, we are masters at it. Nothing. And then we're trying to come up with something. I was thinking about the brakes on the car right there. Yeah. Listen, he's lying. He was thinking about. Remember, and then in a woman's mind, it's like a spaghetti. Remember that? Except it's really electrical cable that's all in there, and it's all sparking, and it's all, you know, and somehow she has the ability to think of this, this, that, and the other all at the same time, and there's connections, and, you know, if a man's mind is a computer screen, you know, we have one window open. Ladies have 7,900 tabs open, and they know what's on all of them, you know what I mean, and I'm saving it for later. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're different. That's the word heteros. This was not a couple's conference. It wasn't meant to be that. That was free, but that'll help some of you. You're like, oh, that explains him, you know. Heteros means, watch, different, opposites. Write that down, the word opposite there. It's an opposite gospel. Now, I want you to notice in verse number 7, he says, which is not another, but there are some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now notice that phrase, another. The word another there is write this word, not opposite, but counterfeit. Or you could write fake. It's a fake gospel. This is a perversion, he says in verse number 7. He said, some trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. He says, listen, he says in verse 6, read it again. Read that with me now. The grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So here's what he's saying. Listen, you're living by another gospel, he says, which is different, and it's not the same. Okay? Verse 6, different. He says, but verse 7, not the same. He goes, this is the problem. The problem is, and then there's number 3. Watch this. There's the true gospel. Are you all with me? Three different gospels here. A opposite gospel, a fake gospel, counterfeit gospel, and then the true gospel, all right? This is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the gospel is foundational. Watch this. Most Christians, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, 6. Listen, if you're like, what is Galatians about? It's explaining the issue that most Christians are living their Christian life according to the wrong gospel. They got saved by grace through faith, and then they go right back into another gospel. They didn't understand what that meant after they got saved. They thought the gospel was just to the sinner. Oh, yes, Pastor, preach it. Preach it to those unsaved people. And listen, what we don't understand is, listen, you need the gospel every single day of your life. It's the gospel to the saved. Well, let's go through it. Notice the first gospel. The opposite gospel is what we're going to call legalism. The Bible calls it that. Legalism. I want you to just flip through it for a few pages, a few places here in Galatians chapter 5. Notice what the Bible says about the gospel. But if you be led of the Spirit, in other words, the gospel is being led of the Spirit. I've already told you that. I'm just, spoiler alert, that's where we're going. This is the whole point, being led of the Spirit. Being led, walking in the Spirit, it calls it as well. Being led of the Spirit, it says, ye are not, what? Under the law. So here's what you need to know. When you're a spiritual Christian, it's not because you've learned to keep the rules.
Real gospel is not law. So we've got to define these terms, because here's the problem. When I say the word legalism, there's a whole bunch of you in here that think legalism means anybody who is stricter than me. Anybody who gives rules. Anybody who has a line that's further along than mine. That's a legalist, and that's a lie. Legalism isn't having rules. Nothing wrong with rules, nothing wrong with law. I'm going to explain that in a minute. Watch this. Legalism is your attitude towards the rules. See, a legalist is a, you better do this, you better do this, you don't do this, and you don't do that, and you don't go there, and you don't go here, and you don't go there, and you do this, and you do this. And legalism is not, again, listen, it's not conservatism. There's nothing wrong with being conservative. There's nothing wrong with being strict necessarily, even. But it's your attitude about the line. And by the way, let me just say this. Everybody's got a line. You know, somebody may say, well, you know, he's a legalist because he's over there. And somehow everybody who's over here, you know, is not or whatever. Everybody's with me is perfect. Listen, here's the truth. Everybody's got a line. Even you know, loosey-goosey churches have a line. You know what I mean? You come and eventually your skirt will be too high and, you know what I mean, and your dress will be too skimpy and they'll say something to you. There's a line. They just, you know, don't want to, admit that. Here's the reality of it is. Legalism is an opposite gospel. Galatians 2:21 says it this way, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, he said, then Christ is dead in vain. Do you see it? He said, look it, if righteousness, he says, if being a Christian means keeping the rules, then he said, Jesus died in vain. Notice it there in Galatians 2:21. I want you to keep reading. Notice right across the gulf there, the great big gulf into chapter 3. You know, some of us think like God, you know, created those and we can't keep reading. We can keep reading. Notice verse 1. Oh, foolish, what? Galatians. That's crazy. I don't know about you. I don't know a lot of Christian preachers who stand up and go, you foolish people. You know what I mean? That wouldn't go. How many of you think, you know, you'd walk in this morning and you open your Bible. Listen, you foolish Rhode Islanders. You foolish New Englanders. I'd be fearing for my life. Some of you are packing. I'd be like, yeah, just kidding. I was kidding. Now that's pretty direct, is it not? Paul says, you foolish Galatians. Notice, who hath bewitched you? That's the idea of you've been tricked that ye should not obey the truth. They weren't in the true gospel. Here they are, they're in church, they're going and doing their thing, but they're not in the true gospel, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Who did it? He said. Now we don't know, but he's like, who did that? He said, it wasn't God. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. It wasn't me, Paul said. Verse 2, this only would I learn of you. He said, teach me something. Explain this to me. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And what's the answer, church? By hearing of faith. Did you receive the Spirit, you know, because, you know, you kept all these rules? Or did you receive it because the Spirit, the Bible says, came into you and by faith? How many of you are with me, right? He said, by faith, obviously. Notice verse number 3. He says, verse number 2, this only would I learn of you. Verse 3, are ye so foolish? Don't answer that question, okay? Verse 3, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? The word perfect in the Bible literally means maturity. Now, he says, you've been saved by the Spirit. Do you think now you're going to be, watch this, a saint in your own strength? The answer is no. Now, the Bible says very clearly, Paul says, listen, this thing of maturity, he says, you don't get there by having a bunch of rules and keeping them. You don't mature by the flesh, you mature by the power of the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit begin to work? We said it last week, through faith. When you believe, the Bible says, the power of the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden your mind is renewed as you do that. Christianity is a relationship. It's not rules, it's not rituals. The Bible says it's a relationship. Now, I want you to get this, okay? So here's what I want you to understand about legalism. Letter A. Legalism is flesh dependence. Everybody write that down. Legalism is flesh dependence. Are you all with me? Say amen. Okay, the flesh. Can the flesh be trusted? No. The armor of the flesh shall fail thee, the Bible says over and over again. How much of the flesh can you trust in order to get saved? And the answer is? Zero. Okay, remember, you're keeping me awake. Thank you. Keep it up. How much of the flesh can you trust in to be a Christian? And the answer is? Zero. See, John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Except you abide in me, ye can do. How much? You, your flesh? Nothing. Now, this is important that you understand this. Watch this. Legalism, the Bible says, doesn't work. Flesh dependence sets you up for failure. Thinking, well, I'm keeping these rules. Look at me. Look at all these things that I'm doing. I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't go there. Listen, my dog doesn't do that either, but doesn't make him a saint. Right? It's not by keeping the law. If that were the case, then Jesus died in vain. So I want us to help. Okay, help me out. You all over here, you're going to be the legalists. Are y'all ready, legalists? Yeah, all right, come on now. Yeah. You guys are so ready, you're like, yeah, I'm going to yell, right? So legalism is flesh dependence. Say that with me. Legalism is? All right, so when I point to you, you guys are flesh dependence. What does that mean? The flesh is going, well, look at me. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I don't do that, and I don't do this. There's just this flesh dependence. Now, here's the thing. You're white-knuckling it. You're trying, but here's the problem. When you're flesh dependent, you know you can't do it. I mean, you can try all you want, but you know, you don't get over your depression, and you don't get over your sin, and you don't deal with it by dealing with it. It's just a trying. So failure is what happens inevitably, right? You try, but you fail. And failure, I said this last week, I'm going to say it this week, and then when I emphasize it in the next week, failure is God's way of getting you to understand you're not depending on Him, right? Failure is nothing but God's way to show you you're not depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice in Galatians 3, verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. What did the law do? It was just a teacher, he says, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. It was just a teacher. So watch this. The law, all it does, and rules, all they do is, was just a way for us to come back to, wait a minute, I can't do this. I mean, Lord, I need you. And so that's what the reality of it is. Now notice letter B. Legalism is performance focused. Write that down. Legalism is performance focused. What's the focus under legalism, under that gospel? The focus is this very simply. Do, works. Okay, now here's a clue that you're a legalist. Are you ready? You compare. Okay, legalists go, well, you know, and that leads to one of two things. If they compare to somebody who's better than them, well, that leads to, I'm just a bum. Right? Insecurity. I just get down. I can't do this. Why try? Right? If I compare to somebody that's inferior to me, then guess what? I'm arrogant. And they come, and a legalist has no answer. Nothing to offer somebody who comes with sin. They're not good soul winners, because watch this. Hey, you know, help me. How do I deal with my sin? And they look at him and they go, well, dude, keep trying. If you were like me, you know, do what I do. And here's how I did with my finances, my family, and my studies. And if you did it like I did it, you'd be as I am. And do you know what a legalist has to be? A hypocrite. He's got to mask up and act like it's all good, it's everything's fine. But how many of you all understand? Legalism is? Oh, come on. One more time, ready? Legalism is? Does the arm of the flesh fail you? Every time, the Bible says. So you got to fake it. You got to wear a mask. You got to act like I'm good, right? Bunch of legalists. Look at them. Look at them. Everybody just sneer over there. Oh, I can't believe you people, right? Don't worry. I'm coming to all of you over there, but... Oh, look at them. They just act like everything's right. That's what a legalist has to do. What else do you do? Now, here's the problem. The Bible says, watch this, that it doesn't work. And so here's what happens. Letter C. Watch this. There's a reaction to legalism. Because it doesn't work, it always leads to a reaction. Galatians 3 and verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Listen to me. In other words, legalists are always under the curse. The Bible says they aren't able to get it done. The law alone doesn't lead you to victory. In fact, sometimes the law, you know, even leads you back into more sin. So if I stand up here and I'm like, come on, legalists, come on, come on, come on, guys, you can do it. Try harder this week, you know what I mean? And don't do this, you know what I mean? Don't go there. And some of you, just because I say don't go there, you're going to want to go there. I remember in school they used to post, don't watch these movies at a Christian school I went to. All the kids, they'd take pictures and then they'd go watch all those movies because those were the good ones. Because the law, he was under the law, he's under the curse. Law alone, it doesn't get you sanctified. And so there's always, 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 always a reaction. If you're somebody here and you were brought in a legalistic environment, watch this, and you know what I'm saying, and you know a lot of people, they were brought up, you know, under a dad who was very demanding, so watch, they're like, oh, and they react. And you were brought up in a Christian school that had a lot of rules, for example, and you know what? You reacted. Now, some run to Jesus, but many don't. They go to the other extreme. There's always a reaction to legalism. And you know what it is a lot of times? Number two, write this down. License. Now, legalism is the opposite gospel. It's legalism is, are y'all ready? One more time. A little louder. Ready? One more time. Legalism is? I can do this. Right? You're trying. You're trying. That's your motto. But watch this. License is the counterfeit gospel. It's an overreaction to legalism. So notice verse number 13. For brethren, Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. In other words, that's where we're going. Okay, that's true gospel. But you only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, teenagers, you guys learn about what love means, right? Serving God by serving one another. The Bible says this, but liberty is never an occasion to the flesh. So if someone is indulging their flesh, watch this, and they're over here and they're in license. So here's what license says. License goes, okay, wait a minute. I was brought up in a real strict home and we had all these rules. So watch this. I hated that. So that didn't work and that brought corruption and curse. So I'm going to go over here. And now I'm like, kids, you guys do whatever you want. And never say no to your kids. And we're just going to let them figure out. And they're going to work their way through their life. And all of you over here, watch this. You guys are licentious. License, right? You hate rules, right? Look at you. You're not even nodding because you're like, you're not going to make me nod. Right? I'm going to try to get you to fit. But listen, so letter A, watch this under license. Are you ready? License is, write this down, flesh indulgence. Okay, so let's try this again. Legalism is flesh. All right, legalism is flesh. Come on now, ready? Legalism is flesh dependence. License is flesh indulgence. Okay, so stay with me. Letter A. License is flesh indulgence. Say it with me. License is? See, they don't want to say it. They're like, nobody tells me what to do. These people, they hate rules. Don't tell them what to do. Because they think, you know what? Jesus is love. And we have freedom in Christ. And I don't know why they put these stupid ropes up at the church, because we ought to be able to sit where we want. If I wanted to sit on top of that speaker, I should be able to do that because Jesus is love and we're free under grace, right? Huh. Interesting. See, it's tough to spot license as something that is not real. Watch this, because this is the opposite gospel, not the true gospel. This is legalism. And people look at the written, they go, oh, that's rigidity. That's not who God is. That's easy to spot. Watch this. That's hard to spot because licentious churches redefine terms. Are y'all with me? See, they just redefine everything. So everything sounds, this is a little more counterfeit. It's easy if I tell my kids, listen, go up to the kitchen and would you bring me a glass of water? There's two glasses on the table. There's a glass of water. And you know what? And there's one that's clear and there's one that's, you know, dark, like coffee looking. That's easy. But you know what? If I tell them, hey, go bring me, my cup of tea. I left a cup of tea. And there's one cup of tea and another cup of tea. It's hard to spot which tea is which. Are y'all with me, right? See, license looks very much like the gospel. And see, this is why everybody's getting duped these days. Galatians 5:16. Listen, read it with me. The Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and, watch this, the Spirit-filled life, the spiritual life, ye shall not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. So let me ask you, is it a true gospel when somebody says to you, hey, do whatever you want, God is love, you're good? No, it's impossible. That can't be the real gospel. Because the Bible says if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it goes on to tell us for the lust of the flesh are, and it gives us this long list, you know, all of this stuff. And so here's what spiritual Christians don't do. They don't indulge the flesh. So legalism is? License is? Yeah, come on now. Ready? One more time. Ready? One, two, three. License is? flesh indulgence. You just indulge the flesh. Whatever, do as you want, okay? So now let's talk about this. You've seen this. You've seen many different Christians. Sometimes, you know, it's amazing. People are like in this ultra-conservative church, you know what I mean? And they're like, you know, they look just right and there's a little bit of attitude. And all of a sudden, man, they leave and they go to like an ultra-liberal church. And you're like, whoa, wow, that was a big change. Was it really? They just went from flesh dependence to flesh indulgence. What's the one thing they have in common? It's still all about them. See, the Bible says there's very little difference. People say, what happened? They made such a big change. No, they didn't. They just went from, I'm trying to, why try? But it's just still about them. You know, so parents who are raised in strict homes, they have permissive. I mean, it's amazing to me now. So we went from, you know, my generation, you know, it was rules and do this, to all of a sudden this generation of parents who are like, you know, you're raising kids who are like, you know, they're crawling on you and they're like, oh, he's just such a handful. And it's because he has allergies to, you know, gluten and stuff. No, it's not. It's because you let him. Total antinomium, the same garbage they get out in the, you know, in the schools. Oh, don't ever let anybody, Joey, tell you you can't do that because, you know, if you look at yourself and you think you're a dinosaur, what they ought to say is, you're right, what a cute dinosaur you are. You're beautiful, the most beautiful dinosaur ever. And now it's gotten in the church. So 2,000 years later, 2024, here we are sitting in church trying to still figure out which gospel. So in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, we got hellfire, damnation, burn, turn or burn, boy. And so you know what we did? People were like, oh, I don't know about that. So then in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, it was freedom in Jesus. Bunch of hippies would get saved, the Jesus movement, pass the joint, bro. Jesus loves you, man. Pass the beer, dude, because he made water into wine. Remember that one? Woo! Yeah, and Jesus is love. He's free. He's grace. Do whatever you want, right? Let me ask you a question. Has this worked? Has America gotten revival from that? I would dare say it's the same flesh. In the last 30 years, Christianity still has zero influence. Till no influence. And we've nothing but watched our country plunge into degradation and corruption. Number two, license, letter B, is permission focused. So what does license do? Watch this. Let me define this counterfeit gospel. It redefines things like liberty. Christian liberty is when I can do, watch this, I'm free to do what I ought. They define liberty as free to do what you want. Grace, watch this. Biblical grace is the power of God to live the Christian life. Licentious grace is do whatever you want. It's all good. I mean, if you read a book about grace, listen, in most of the books in the neo-evangelical Christian bookstore in your town, if you go, you read something about grace, most of them quote everything about grace except this one. Listen, these two. Notice, Jude 4 is one. The Bible says in Jude 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained unto this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God, of our God, into lasciviousness. That's the word licentiousness. That's where we get it from. And denying the only Lord and God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, if you hear a preacher and he says, listen, we're under grace, don't let any preacher stand up there and tell you, you got to obey. You know what they do? They minimize obedience. It's not important. I'm not minimizing it today, but I'm just saying it comes from a different point. Listen, this is very important. Titus 2 verse 11 says this, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. All God's people said? Teaching us what? That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. See, grace is not permission. Grace is power. It's not license. The Bible says it's liberty. We're going to see real liberty. It's not doing it because I have to. It's doing it because I have to. Because the power of Jesus Christ constrains me. I don't know how many times, you know, young Christian gets saved. They come to church and they're like, Pastor, here's my earring. You know what I mean? And guys are, you know, and they're like, I just feel like I had a dress up in church. Nobody's telling them. I don't preach and go, hey, you ought to bless God if you don't come in a tie to church. They just feel like this is a holy place. And they just want to sing and they want to serve and they want to go forward and they want to surrender and they want to have soul winning. Why? That's what the grace of God does. They don't do it because they have to. They do it because they have to. License is permission focused. They define things like faith. Faith means believe whatever you want and God will do it. Have you all heard that? Anybody heard that? Oh, yeah. Faith is not doing whatever you want. Faith is believing what God says. James said it this way, faith without works is dead. He said, that's not faith. That doesn't mean you're not saved. It just means if you say you have faith and you believe, and it doesn't lead you to obedience, listen to me, you don't have real biblical faith. So watch number three here. I want to come to this conclusion quickly. Ready? Are you all ready? Everybody write this down in your notes. Neither works. Neither one works. How many of you understand what I'm about to say? Notice, read this verse with me. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Here's the conclusion to the whole thing. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall also of the flesh reap. What? Listen to me. Legalism is flesh? Oh, come on now. I'm more awake than you guys, and you're not doing it. Ready? Legalism is flesh? Liberalism, or what do we call it? Licentiousness, license. License is flesh. Say it. License is flesh? Flesh indulgence. Still flesh, right? What does it say? Verse 7. Read it with me. The Bible says, he that soweth, what's this? What does he do to the flesh? Verse number 7. Not deceived. God's not mocked. Verse 8. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. Folks, corruption. If you depend on the flesh, that's not going to get you, the Bible says, to be what God wants you to be. If you liberate the flesh and do, say, whatever goes, that's not going to get you there. So the Bible is very clear. Both of these result in corruption. Both the opposite gospel and, the Bible says, the fake gospel. There is no power in it. Why? Because it indulges the flesh. And it used to be, you know, people used to say, oh, look at all those, you know, rigid churches. They're full of scandals. And you know what? They were. I remember that. I mean, growing up, it was flesh dependent. And I was one of those kids when I was about 15 years old. We'd been in a flesh dependent church. And it was do this, and don't do this. And if you do that, you're probably not even saved. And I mean, just, you know, keep the line. You know what I mean? And then we went over here, and I remember for a time my dad was like, well, maybe we need to try, like, you know, someplace where there's a little grace or whatever, you know. And so it was like, oh, grace, freedom. But it was like, hey, it doesn't matter, do whatever, you know what I mean? So I'd go to youth group and everybody's smoking pot, you know, as I'd walk in, and I'm going, it just didn't seem right. And so now I'm like 15 years old and I'm already going, I'm through with this. This is nuts. Because both bring corruption. There's no power in it. Now listen to me. Most of you here, you know what I'm talking about. Listen, and I'm telling you, teens, don't leave and go do your thing and feed your flesh and find a church somewhere that'll tell you can sleep around and do this. And that's what churches do. Basically today, they've just accommodated. Oh, whatever, you come as you are and leave like you came. Listen to me. It doesn't work. The promise of the Word of God is corruption, destruction. Now, I don't know about you. That's not what I want in my life. But God says, I won't be mocked. You can't be a Christian under this flesh. And you can't be a Christian under this flesh gospel and it go well with you. You say, well, what's the answer, Pastor? Notice Galatians chapter 5. Read verse 1 with me. Ready? Stand fast, therefore. Where? Say that word with me. Liberty. You need to underline it and circle it and make sure you understand what that means. We're going to learn all about that. Liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What yoke of bondage? Watch this. The yoke of legalism, or frankly, the yoke of licentiousness. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. Write that down. 2 Corinthians 3:17. See, liberty means you're a Spirit-led Christian. Liberty means you have freedom and understand your freedom in Jesus Christ. It means that not that you have freedom to do whatever you want. It means that you have freedom to do what God wants. You have freedom to do what you want, the Bible says. Your union in Christ means, watch this, you're a new creature. So now your desires have changed. And so now the Bible says you're able not just to have the desire, Romans 6, but the power, Romans 7 and 8, to do it, the Bible says. And when you realize that, because because of your union in Christ, you're a new creature. You're like, oh, this is great. Next week, I'm going to be talking about this process. So don't get lost in there. Stay tuned. There's more to come. But as you read the Bible, all of a sudden you start to realize, wait a minute, this is amazingly different. When I read this, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, it doesn't mean like, you know, oh, I got to do this. It reads like, oh, wow, I can just surrender my body to Him. I cast my cares upon the Lord. That's real freedom. You see, the truth is, freedom to do what I want leads to bondage. So let's just go back over here. If you're living under license, listen, you may think, oh, I'm doing whatever I want, I'm free. But here's the thing. Well, how many of you understand what I'm about to say? You can go rob a bank, but you're going to be wanted by the police. And some of you know what I'm saying, right? Remember the revolution, right? Free love, free sex. Remember that? It wasn't free. It brought an incredible, painful, horrible cost to this nation. The devastation, the AIDS. Listen, the wicked, you know what I mean, society, the messed up people who have now grown up and they're in the White House. It wasn't free, folks. Can I get an amen, right? Was it free? Absolutely not. Listen, you may be free to do what you want under licentiousness, but you always pay the price of the consequences. You can smoke what you want, sleep with who you want, but it's going with you. See, listen. Real liberty is when you're led by the Spirit of God. It's amazing. Look, letter A, the true gospel crucifies the flesh. Now, aren't you guys all pious right here in this intersection? Listen, say that with me, right? The true gospel crucifies the flesh. Read that, 1, 2, 3. The true gospel. You say, why'd you pick the louder section? Because they're filled with the Spirit. They're louder, right? Say that with me. So legalism, it, flesh dependent. Licenses, flesh indulgent. They won't even do it. They don't care. They don't tell me what to do. But the true gospel, right? Liberty is crucifying the flesh. It's crucifying the flesh. Galatians 5:24. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. See, people who follow Jesus, the Bible says, have crucified the flesh. This is an interesting verse. So I call a friend of mine yesterday, and he's a Greek. And I said, hey, remind me. Go back, Steve. You're Russian here, brother. Galatians 5:24. I need to explain this verse. So we're reading this, and tell me what tense this is in. You know, because I mean, I was one of those guys who, I passed Greek, but barely. You know what I'm saying? I mean, okay. And he's like, no. He said, I used to think this was a passive voice. In other words, something done unto you. But he said, no, it's in the active voice. It's in the aorist tense, which I don't remember a whole lot about that, but here's what it means. It's not continual. The Bible says, when it says, have crucified, here's what the idea is. Watch this. I remember our Greek teacher saying this. He goes, it's like a dot. It's like you crucify, and then you do it again, and then there's multiple points in your life. So I'm reading one author this week that said, he said, there are crises in your life when God brings you to moments where you crucify the flesh. And I can tell you, I've had many of those. I remember as a 15-year-old, as I told you before, I was 16 years old, I walked into a church, watch this, where it was preached liberty. It wasn't legalist or licentious. It was the Spirit of God. And I remember I went to teen camp one year before my senior year in high school, and the preacher stood up, and it was like he was talking to me. And I remember I got done, and his name was Dave McCoy. Some of you went to hear Brother McCoy at a couples conference about 3 years ago, and then he went home to be with the Lord like 6 weeks later from COVID. You remember that? Brother McCoy from Georgia, and he was just so funny. He cracked jokes all the time, but I'm telling you, it was like he nailed me to the wall. And he got done, and I remember that Friday he gave that invitation. And he said, listen, you want to give your life to Christ? If you surrender your flesh, you crucify your flesh. He said, you bring that stick that's in everybody's hands, and given us a stick, and he said, you throw that in that fire. And I remember all the kids went up, you know, and they did the Baptist thing, and they threw it in there. And I'm looking at him like, just like that? No, I got to think about this. And I stood back, and they're all throwing the sticks in there, and it's 400 teens, and I'm like probably the last guy. And I stood there, and I said, Lord, if I give this to you, this is the last real decision I ever make. From here on, it's yours. And I went up to that fire and said, okay. I threw that stick in. While everybody else left, listen, I watched it till it burnt, till it was ashes. I said, Lord, I mean it. Can I tell you something? There's been many crises since. I remember 3 years later, I was 19 years old. The Lord said, I'm calling you to preach. Boy, for 3 years, I battled that thing. And I was like, Lord, I told you I'd do anything, but I didn't want to do that. I remember 2 years later, there was a fledgling congregation, 18 months later, really. And they needed a pastor. And I remember my pastor coming to me and like, I think God wants you to do this. And I said, no, I don't think so. I think you got the wrong email or whatever. I don't know, you know. And he's like, have you been praying about it? I said, I don't want to pray about it. I don't want to go there. He said, well, I think you ought to pray about it. And I'm like a lot of you. You know, you say you pray about it, it just means I don't want to do it. I remember I started praying, and the Lord said, that's it. I remember I told my fiance and my wife, I said, I think God wants us to do this. And we stayed 20 years. Till God said, go. Then I had another crisis. But now I was home. Now these were my people. This is my family. The Lord said, you got to go. Okay. And I remember the stick. All right. Okay, Lord. Then the Lord said, go to Rhode Island. No, come on. Yeah, it was 5 years ago this week. I got to tell you, the last few weeks, I've been throwing the stick in the fire all over again. The Lord's just been saying, you got to crucify that. And I keep going, I know. Listen, it's not like this crucifying the flesh just happens like one time and you're done. Listen, there's crises many times over where you've got to, the true gospel means you got to come to God and do what I said last week. You're sitting there and you're drowning and you're going, God, I need help. But here's the good news, and I'm going to talk about it next week, Romans chapter 6. He helps you. And there's freedom in that. It's amazing freedom. The Bible says, we're going to talk about this next week, consider yourself, reckon yourself, he calls it, dead indeed unto sin. You know what that means? It's an active voice. That means that when you died, Jesus died. When you died, when Jesus died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he was resurrected, you were resurrected. You know what that means, folks? That all happened at Calvary. You say, I prayed a prayer. I didn't realize all that happened. I know you didn't. None of us did. I know I didn't. But I'm telling you right now, and I wake up every morning and I remember, oh, wait a minute, I'm dead. My life is hid with Christ in God. The Bible says, I'm dead, so I just got to consider that. Believe what is already true. I'm not a slave to sin. I'm going to preach about that next week, so let me just move on. But here's what you got to understand. Letter A, the Bible is very clear. The true gospel crucifies the flesh. It's continuous. You've got to crucify the flesh. I'm done living my life. Lord Jesus, I want you to live through me. Whatever you want, I'm yours. Notice number two, it focuses on Jesus. The focus is on Jesus. It's not on yourself. It's on the Lord. It's not on your flesh. It's on the Lord. Jesus enables us to live in victory. We're not doing it out of duty. We're doing it because we want to now. You don't need a law when you're spirit by the Spirit. The Bible says there's an anointing that is within you, 1 John says. It teaches you and you have no need to be taught. Nobody's telling you, do this, do this, do this. You're like, I want to read my Bible. I want to be holy. I want to live for God. I want to tell people about Jesus. Nobody's making you. It's not legalism. The focus is on the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible explains. When we preach on the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, kindness, souls that are being saved by you. It's not because you're trying. It's because it's very simple. Abide in me and I in you. If you do that, the Bible says you will bear much fruit. It's freedom to do what you're called and created to do. And the focus is on the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what you do when you live a life like that? You're happy because you're not trying. You're trusting. You're walking around and you're just like waiting for God moments. What's God going to do today? Who's he going to put in my path today? What miracles is God going to do today? You're not sitting there trying, oh, this is so hard, legalistic, you know. Some of you, you know, it's like, oh, and I preached, you know, let's obey the Lord. And you're like, oh, that too, oh. No, you're just like, you're trusting God. You're just like, Lord, I got to do it. Now, let me illustrate this. This is a silly illustration. We're just about done, okay? Now, watch this. And I almost did this, and then I didn't. Whatever. So, imagine there's a basketball hoop right here, 10-foot hoop, right? Basketball hoop. Huh. I love basketball. There's one problem. I'm short and I can't shoot. So anyway, Let's just say I called up one of the kids. You know, I called up like a two-year-old or a three, like let's say like a four-year-old boy, and I brought him up here, and I was like, okay, listen, here's the deal. I need you to slam dunk this basketball, and I give him a bunk. But that's a 10-foot hoop up there. Okay, I want you to dunk it. Just put it right in there. And he goes up, and he's like, you know, and it's just pathetic. You know, two or three times, and he's looking at me like, really? You got to make me in front of all these people? And I'm like, okay, folks, here's what we got to do. We got to motivate Johnny. Let's motivate him. Who'd give $100? You guys won't because you're all cheapskates. So, and you over here, you want to prove it, you know, so you're flipping out $100, you know. So I, okay, Greg gives $100. Okay, buddy, here we go. If you dunk this ball, give $100. And so he goes and tries again, and he's like, you know, and he's throwing it up there. He's like, he's looking at you like, oh. And then he goes, you know, and some of you mamas are like, oh, you know, and some of you are like, lower the hoop, pastor, lower the hoop. And so I go over here, and so I lower the hoop, all right, and so I bring it down to like 4 foot, and he comes up here, and he slam dunks it, and everybody says, yay, Johnny, yay. Everybody's like, oh, wasn't that great? Let me ask you a question. Do you understand that's what legalism is? Legalism is, come on. You got to live according to the glory of God. Amen. Who can do that? For all have sinned and come. We're spiritual midgets trying to slam dunk. So watch this. Licentiousness is, well, then let's just compromise the standard. Let's just lower the standard so everybody can slam dunk. Participation trophies for all. Welcome to 2024. Everybody's a winner. Nobody, grades, no grades. You showed up. Doesn't matter that you were smoking weed and selling it in the back. You know what I mean? You passed high school. That's America 2024, is it not? Did he reach the mark? The answer is? So, that's what legalism is. Flesh dependence is not going to get you there, and flesh indulgence is also not victorious. You say, well, what in the world does liberty look like? You know what liberty looks like? Liberty looks like, here we are, we're spiritual midgets, and all of a sudden, this little boy, he's standing there, and he's crying, and, I can't do it. And he looks over, and he sees his dad. And his dad is, you know, 6 foot something, and he's muscular and big. And he looks, there's no dad like that. Never mind. I was going to bring somebody up. But so anyway, so and he says, Dad, can you help? And his dad steps up, and his dad comes up here, you know, and comes up these steps, and he grabs his little boy, and he goes, whoo, and his boy's got the ball, and he takes him up here, and he lifts him up, and the little boy slam dunks the ball, and I give him the $200, and everybody claps for him. That's liberty. When the power of an almighty God all of a sudden, watch this, takes you and lifts you, and you do something that you could never possibly in any way do on your own. But the power of an almighty God lifts you up, and he sets your feet upon a rock. And the Bible says, out of the miry clay, and all of a sudden you are standing there victorious. And you say, this is awesome. And you know what it produces? Let her see. And I want you to get this. It produces humility. You say, why, Pastor? Watch this. Because when somebody, listen, and we've got to get this, church. I can't even emphasize this enough. We have got to get this. This is what being a Christian is. It's not self. Oh, sorry, you guys are writing. All right, let me say it again. Over here. Legalist, it's not self. And license, it's not self. Watch this. It is crucifying the flesh. And when somebody, watch this. Does this make a difference? Oh, my goodness. Church, imagine what a difference it makes when somebody walks in and they've got strongholds and they've got sin and they've got corruption and they have anger and they sit next to you in growth group and they sit next to you in church and they go, I just don't think I fit in here. See, I'm a homosexual. See, I'm sleeping around. See, I'm angry. See, I'm just dirty. See, I just get angry. See, I don't even like God. See, I'm bitter. I've been bitter at my dad for the last 37 years. You're able to look at him and you don't go like the, you know, the legalistic people. They look at him and they go, well, if you try it as hard as I did, that, you know, you'd be at his, you know, no. And then they're not a licentious people. And you go, oh, don't worry about it. Just stay that way. It doesn't matter. God is love. God is grace. It's all good. That's okay. Does that work? No. Why? You know, their conscience still condemns them. Do you know what humility does? Humility looks at them and says, that's amazing. I was messed up too, but there's a God in heaven who lifted me up unto victory, and he can do that for you. Can I get a witness this morning? That's what liberty does. That's what the real gospel of Jesus Christ does. It doesn't show off. It doesn't say, oh, if you were like me. No. It's humble. It just says, listen, this is great. You came to the right place. The Lord Jesus can help you. Don't say my church. Don't say, well, we here, we bad. That's all that need to be said. No, you're not. You're not nothing. We are nothing. How many of you understand? He is everything. We were, the Bible says, grossly far from God. And so the Bible is very, very, very clear about this. It breeds humility, folks. There's no, what's the word? There's no pride involved when you're living in liberty, when you're living for the Lord. It's just, it's a wonderful, wonderful realization of a wonderful and wonderful and almighty God. This is important. It's important for soul winning. Look at people and you say, hey, this is great. You say, well, what? I just can't live like you. And you go, neither can I. But the Lord will come live in your life. And the power of God will come in, and I'm going to tell you, it's a step at a time. And your parents, you've got to get this. Some of you, you're such legalists. Some of you, you're such licentious parents. Oh, you can wear that. Oh, that looks so, oh, you look so good. You can't let them do whatever they want. You can't let them look like that. And you can't tell them somehow they're going to do it in the flesh. You can say, oh, you've got to behave, Johnny. That's legalism. That's ridiculous. It's corruption. You got to look at them and say, listen to me. You know me. I'm your dad. I'm just as messed up. But there's a God. And you need him, son. This is why I tell you to read your Bible, buddy. This is why we're going to pray right now. You're going to ask him to forgive you. And you're going to ask him to cleanse you. And you're going to ask him to help you not to do it again. Because I can't help you and I can't teach you. You already know what to do. But only Jesus can help you do it. Parents, we've got to get this. Soul winners, you've got to get this. Church, you've got to get this. Now let me ask you a question, and we're going to go. Which gospel do you practice? That gospel of self-dependence leads to corruption. This gospel of self-indulgence leads to corruption. Only the true gospel of liberty, of trusting. Aren't you tired of trying? Folks, how many of you understand? Some of us come to church and we act like, this week I'm going to slam dunk it. No, you're not. I mean, you've tried 39 years, you haven't yet. Why do you think you're going to do it? Your flesh, listen, is as weak as it was the day you got saved, and all you're doing is repeating the 39th year of getting saved, trying, okay, this is the year, 2024, I'm going to do it. No, you're not. You're a spiritual midget. I used to think, you know, when I'm, you know, 25 years of preaching and I'm like been walking with God like a quarter century, I'm going to be just a giant in the flesh and just defeat every sin. Do you know the worst thing that happened to me? This year, as I've been preaching 25 years and I'm still a midget. And I still wake up and I go, Lord, I got to have your help. Folks, listen to me. It's still weak and messed up old me still saying, Daddy, and the teenagers learned this week. Boom, shakalaka, laka, 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 laka. And all of a sudden, you know, that's what liberty is, living in the true gospel. And you know what you do? You worship and you're happy. Because it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I now live, I live in the strength and the power of the Son of God. Oh, you know, and people say, oh, your church is wonderful. Oh, you're just a wonderful mother. No. It's easy to just look at them and go, no, you don't understand. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together. Father, forgive us for trusting in ourselves. I suppose, Lord, license and legalism appeal to every one of our flesh. There's not anybody here who's not susceptible to one of these other gospels. So Lord, I believe for some, this may even be a crisis moment, a crisis of believing the real gospel, of finally, once and for all, crucifying the flesh. Help us, Lord. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many of you would say, you know, Pastor, I'm one of those. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. Jesus is my Savior. He lives in my heart. But if I can be honest, you know, I've tried the legalism, I've tried the license, and it's just, I know it's not working. I don't know which one you're practicing, but can I just ask you this today? You don't have to tell me or anyone, but would you tell God, and would you today just say, make a decision. I'm going to respond to the call of God to live in liberty, in freedom, in Christ, because that's what He came to give you. How many of you would say, that's me, Pastor? I want freedom, once and for all, once and forever. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Can I ask you to do this, Christian? Just come tell Him that. All it takes is humility. All it takes is saying, Lord, I need You. I still need You. 20, 30 years later, I still need You. So just step out. Come to this altar today. Stop trying. Stop trying. Stop living and doing whatever. Just come today and just say, Lord Jesus, I need You. Just tell Him. Many of you are coming. There's time. How many would say, you know, I need to believe the real gospel. I've been trusting in something, but it's not that. Here's a crisis for you. Would you surrender? Would you throw the stick in the fire again? Would you say, Lord, I believe You. You. It's not a program, a plan, a way, a law, a way of thinking. It's You, Lord Jesus. I believe You. Just tell Him right there, Lord Jesus, lift me up. I cast all my cares upon You today. If you're here, you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ. He saved you. He died to save you. But you've got to call on Him. It's a simple step of obedience. It's just simple. Whoever will call, if you'll just stay in your seat today, call. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Just call right now. Pray this prayer. I know I'm a sinner. Thank You for dying on the cross. I trust You, Jesus. Come into my heart. Make me Yours. The Bible says, if you'll call, He'll save you. Would you do it? Tell Him, Jesus, save me. Come into my heart. Once and for all. Once and forever. Friend, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I don't think you ought to be embarrassed to tell everybody. I just put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just believed on Him. On Him. Somebody here would say, you know, Pastor Carlos, I just prayed, ask Jesus to come in my heart, be my Savior. Would you raise your hand right there? Raise your hand. I want to pray and rejoice with you. Lord bless you, young lady. That's great. Who else? I just prayed, ask the Lord Jesus to save me. Anybody else? I want to rejoice with you this morning. Father, I just want to thank You for Your gospel. Thank You, Lord, for sending Your Son, Jesus. Lord, we today come and we say, Lord, we need You every day. As Christians, Lord, help us not be foolish like the Galatians. Trusting in ourselves. Help us to trust and believe in You.
We'd like to thank you for listening to today's message. If you made a decision to trust Christ, we'd love to know that and send you some resources that you can use to continue your new relationship with God. If you'd like prayer, you can call us at 401-231-4796 or email us at prayer@gribt.com. You can connect with us through social media or our website at gribt.com. Have a great day, and may God richly bless you.